On the line, I have Mr. John Weldon, President of Optometry Ireland, and we're going to be chatting about how optometrists can unlock delays in public eye care. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, listeners. Great to be with you once again.
Thank you very much. John, maybe you could explain to the listeners who Optometry Ireland are, because I believe you changed your name recently.
Well, I suppose the Association of Optometrists in Ireland has been running since 1956, so we've been around for a long time. And it's a bit of a mouthful, and a lot of people find it difficult to pronounce optometrists and understand what optometry is. So we decided a short time ago that perhaps a little bit of rebranding would make it more manageable for us and also speak to exactly the cohort of people we're speaking on behalf of, which is the profession of optometry in Ireland.
And just to say to the listeners that if they're looking for Optometry Ireland, they still go in under the Association of Optometry Ireland on your website, but that'll change soon.
Yeah, absolutely. In any of your search engines, if you type in the word optometry or optometrist, it will lead you to our website. We've just redeveloped our website, making it a lot more user-friendly and a lot more accessible for both public and members and other interested parties.
Now, to get, as the man says, to get to the substantive issue, we've spoken over the last number of years, over the last number of years about the Sligo project that has been going on. Maybe you'd remind the listeners what that was.
Yeah, surely, Michael. In fact, it's almost a decade old. It's extraordinary to think about it. Back in 2012, we were still presented with the same issues of unacceptably long waiting lists. And I think we all know of loved ones and family members who are waiting for forever and a day, it seems, to be seen for simple outpatient procedures. And many are suffering difficulties in their life because of that delay. So the optometrists in Ireland and Optometry Ireland decided, well, look, you know, rather than curse in the dark, we should try and light a candle and see, would there be a better way to go forwards and help to ameliorate those waiting lists? So a number of members got in touch with the local consultant ophthalmologist, the eye surgeon in Sligo, Mr. Paul Mullaney, who was really very enthusiastic about using his time more effectively by carrying out the surgery rather than doing a lot of outpatient work as well. And the protocols were designed so that local community optometrists would deal with the outpatient initial appointments and follow-up appointments, thereby freeing up the surgeon to concentrate just on getting the cataract surgery done. So once everything was set up in place and appropriate training and protocols instituted, the waiting lists went from 3 to 5 years to 6 to 9 months. So it was a massive improvement. And in actual fact, a number of years later, when the HSC themselves audited all of the figures and audited the scheme, they awarded it a healthcare innovation. And ever since that, we've saw it as being so successful, we've repeatedly presented it to the Ministers of Health and Department of Health and the HSC as a really good model of care going forwards. But as yet, we have to see it implemented across the country.
Well, I'm a keen golfer, and I was out golfing yesterday morning with a lad I often play with, and he was telling me he was in a hospital in Dublin on Wednesday with his on Wednesday morning with his wife, who had to go in because she had an eye appointment. And he said he was in there for four hours. On this appointment, and chatting with him, and he was a bit kind of taken aback, I suppose, in a way, with how it all operated, because he said, you know, we're at the moment we're still in a pandemic of COVID and so forth, and the hospitals seem to have this way of setting appointments that they give everybody the same time for an appointment. So we'll say it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely.
So 15 people arrive.
Yeah, your friend has actually highlighted one of the greatest difficulties that we have with our system as it is administered and managed at the present time. And we all know and respect our frontline care workers for the Trojan work that they continue to do and have done throughout. And they're the unacknowledged heroes of our health service, really. But actually how the planning and administration of those services, as your friend described, is really where the big issue is. So, for example, you know, in our practice, we have to manage the number of people in the practice to ensure social distancing and safety for all of our patients, public and work colleagues. And unfortunately, we're seeing that in the health service that that's not really happening. And then the other difficulty, and I asked the same question of our local department. I said, well, why do you give so many people an appointment at 9 o'clock? As well, history shows us that a number of them don't turn up. And my reply to that was, well, you know, if you've been waiting for 6, 9, 12 months, 18 months for this appointment, you're really going to ensure that you do turn up because you've been waiting so long for it. And I think that's the big issue, Michael, is how we're managing our health service and how into the future could we use the resources we've got more or in a more organised fashion and indeed in a more efficient fashion.
Indeed, and I was kind of gobsmacked because this man is in his 70s, and so his good lady wife, and I'm saying to myself, that's a bad way of operating, you know, putting somebody who's in that kind of category, sitting in a hospital waiting room,
absolutely,
with so many people going by all the time, but. You know, there it is. But the other thing I was going to say about it is, mm-hmm. how many of those people who had an appointment at the same time were people who could quite easily have been seen by yourselves?
Yeah, and I think that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? You know, we already know that, historically speaking, our hospital system is massively overloaded. As our population grows, and certainly as we're living longer and so forth, those demographic factors are only going to drive waiting lists longer and longer. And we're already smothered by the waiting list. So really, we're a professional body who are saying, look, we know that that's unacceptable. We know that that's problematic. But here are some options to try and make it better for people. And by seeing your local optometrist, especially if you're an older patient, you know, you don't want to be going into a waiting room with loads and loads of other people. You want to be able to go somewhere local, somewhere accessible, with people that you know. And if you think about it, you know, there are over 800 optometrists registered in our country. There are practices all over the place. Most towns and villages have a choice of 2 or 3 practices for you to go to. If you're eligible under medical card schemes or through your PRSI benefit, you know, oftentimes your consultation is free. So why would you not utilise those local services?
And can you tell me, what is the hold-up? Because as my understanding is the Sligo project has worked really well and people are raving about it. Why is it so slow in it being adopted throughout the country?
Absolutely, and this is the question that we've been turning over in our minds for so long. As I say, the Sligo scheme is 10 years ago, yet if you live in the southwest of the country, down in Cork and so forth, we still see the pictures on TV of people having to get on a bus, pensioners getting on a bus to go to Belfast to have their operations done outside the state. And we think that's an inappropriate use of our resources when the value for that should be in our own jurisdiction for our own people. And in that southwest region, you can still wait, you know, 4 years for your cataract operation, which is extraordinary. 4 year wait for a 15-minute procedure just seems incongruous. And the tenants and the basis of the Sligo scheme were so successful, and as I mentioned, awarded a healthcare innovation by the HSE itself. And we're at a loss to know why it hasn't been implemented and expanded across the country. There is no obstacle for it to do so, Michael. Our optometrists are there, they're trained, it's well within their scope of practice. And we're actually in the business of helping to make people's lives better. If you think about it, when you go to visit your local optometrist at any stage, at any age, you usually go there because, for example, now that we're back at school, a child might say, I can't see the board, Mum. How do I get that done? This person comes to us, we help them, we solve the problem, and we make a solution quickly and efficiently for them. And we want to use that rationale to help our health service.
Now, I'm going to say something that you may find a little bit strange to you, but it's a principle that I have always lived by, that I always believed in, is that when you want to find out what's the obstacles in something, is you follow the money.
Absolutely. I think we both were educated in a time where we were going cui bono, who will benefit from that? And again, I think that actually goes to the center of the issue. But actually, from our perspective, what we have done with Sligo is actually a better service, saving sight, saving people from falling and having injuries, saving time, and we can prove that it saves the Exchequer money. So why would you not want to do that? And as we were discussing there lately, I think we all accept that the balance sheet of our lives does have to have more than just figures on it. And for us, things like cataract or children's eye care are absolutely paramount quality of life issues for our patients. And we don't see why obstacles should be put in the way for those people accessing the services fairly and economically and having good provision for their quality of life. You mentioned your colleagues on the golf course. For example, if you enjoy golf and you're developing a little bit of cataract, you can no longer track that ball as you drive. And not being a great golfer myself, I always get a great value walk out of it. But at the same time, if it's your passion and you can't see to see what you're doing, then your quality of life suffers. If you're a school attending child and you can't see the board or you can't see your computer, because of course we're still doing a lot of distance learning and so forth, there are issues that don't need to be left waiting. They need to be addressed and fixed quickly. And what we're proposing, and we have discussed with the current and previous ministers of health, are new ways of working that don't involve extra budget allowance, that don't involve massive infrastructural projects, to utilise the services we have there more efficiently.
Now, I'm going to say something that, and you're right in everything you said, but if you think of it this way, within both the HSC and the Department of Health, there are budget streams.
Yes.
And there are managers of budget streams.
Yep.
And if you are moving money from one stream to another, you will get a kickback, where whatever manager of a budget stream doesn't want to be losing money from his stream and it going over to another, even though it may save the whole Exchequer in the long run.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose you've hit on a very, very important point, Michael, because we're talking about managers, we're talking about management, we're talking about moving budgets and so forth. And I'm one of those guys, which is better? Do we need a biro manager or do we need another bed for our accidents and emergency department? Do we need a bed manager or do we need more nurses and beds to house patients? And I think that's the central issue, is per capita against the OECD norms, we do spend a lot on our health service. But yet, if you look at the delivery of our service at the sharp end, where has that money gone? Where is the value gone? Where is the patient dividend? Where is the quality of care that we know that our population and our citizens deserve? So I think, managing the money is very, very important. And yes, we know that the appropriate use of resources is very important. And as a nation, we were reared to not be wasteful and so forth. But you only have to look across the river and look at what we're doing with our children's hospital. At the moment, we still don't know how much it's going to cost. We're still not sure when it's going to be finished. We still don't know. Whereas if you ran your own domestic finances in that way, you'd be pilloried by your friends and neighbours, wouldn't you?
I can tell you, you would indeed, because I worked in business all my working life. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I came across it where you had managers of budget streams who would be very protective of it and would want to make sure that they got the same budget allowance that the following year or so forth. Mm-hmm. But you also then had the directors of the company who were watching these things and making sure that you didn't have a situation where somebody was protecting a budget rather than passing it on so it could be of benefit to the company.
Absolutely.
Where we could make more money.
Yeah, and that's a very, very viable pivotal point where you go budget versus benefit. And the whole point of business and success in business, as we know, and I've been running my own business for a quarter of a century, thanks be to God, through thick and thin, through two recessions and so forth, and we're still there delivering service and hopefully aspiring to deliver better service more efficiently with better equipment to the benefit of all of our patients. And protecting your budget is one thing, but actually what are you producing with the budget is the greater question. And I think it's one of the things that we know throughout the HSC. Where are the checks and balances? Where are the audits? Where is the justification for your performance management? So, you know, it's grand to say, you know, here, have this title, have this position, have this budget, have this responsibility. But where is the audit of your performance thereafter? You know, so I think that's a real big governance issue, which we could talk for a long time on, but it's a very prescient issue.
Yeah, and I'm not going to take up too much more of your time, but I'm going to ask you, what can our listeners do to support you and maybe give a little bit of a push to our elected representatives?
Absolutely. Yep. So, you know, we're coming into the budgetary phase for our country. We all know that we've written very, very many checks throughout COVID to keep everybody safe. Those checks do have to be cashed at some point in the future. There will be undoubtedly be pressure on budgetary constraints for government parties going forwards. But here at Optometry Ireland, what we're looking at is we're actually promising and can deliver more for less. We're not talking about new money. We're not talking about massive infrastructural investment. We're talking about the skills and talents of a group of professionals who are positively engaged and enthusiastic about helping the public. So speak to your local TD and say, look, why are we not doing these things? You know, we have proven schemes vis-a-vis the cataract program. We have an enthusiastic bunch of professionals throughout the country in all locations that are willing, able, qualified, and well within their scope of practice to provide these services. Why are we not doing it?
Indeed. And I've said on a number of occasions, if you put a little bit of money in early into healthcare, the benefits in the long run are just astronomical. They save you so much money. But the healthier population is better. They're so much more productive. When people are more productive, they pay more taxes.
Absolutely. And I think that's the global overview that we're missing. As an old member of my family used to say, an ounce of preventing is better than a ton of curing. And we know the health benefits of good lifestyle and preventing people going into hospital or avoiding the need to make a big intervention by an earlier, smaller intervention. And we'd be all for that, Michael.
Indeed. John, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with
Likewise.
You. And hopefully we'll get that Sligo project rolled out across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for the chat. And good morning to be with you, listeners.
All the best. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Now, there we go. That was Mr. John Weldon, and he is the president of Optometry Ireland. And we were chatting about how optometrists can unlock delays in public eye care. Now, I didn't mention it there, and John didn't bring it up, but there are around 50,000, I think it's about 49,000 people waiting on eye care in this country. And that's unacceptable. There's no need for it. And some of that can be 9 months, it could be 18 months. It's ridiculous. And we have so many optometrists out there.